the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking to help brighten up your day on this Saturday. Maybe you can brighten Mae a bit, too. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. You know, I have to tell you, I really have no business out here. I'm so hoarse, I hope to goodness you can hear me. Sounds just like a bullfrog down on the creek. I took an awful cold day before yesterday, and not such a cold. I don't take much cold. I just take laryngitis and get so hoarse I can't squawk. I'm sorry, but now you'll have to hear me if you can. Well, anyway, Happy New Year, Fred. We've lived through another year, haven't we? Another year. You know, Christmas is the happiest time to me imaginable, but some way the dying of the old year and the coming of another one puts the greatest gloom in me if I just stop an instant to think about it. What is ahead? That's the thing. That's what makes me shouldn't try to look ahead. Many lovely things have gone with the old year and many tragic ones. And that tense looking forward just does something to us. We oughtn't to do it. A wise man has said, when you find yourself overwhelmed with anxiety and a sort of fear, the way to get rid of it is to go out at once and do something for someone, anyone. There are millions who need you. And this writer said this. He said, when I dig a man out of trouble, I turn the hole he leaves behind him into a grave in which I bury my own trouble right away. It's a wonderful idea. A little New Year poem I'm going to read to you. It's my own poem. I wrote it, I remember, 5 or 6 years ago. I don't work my poetry off on you very often, do I? But I feel like reading this. The new year may be golden chimes, a burst of song, a glory. It may be yet another chance to write a clean new story. It may be just the little things, a baby's laugh, a prayer. It may be firelight shining on a man's soft graying hair. The new year may be hopelessness against a losing fight. It may be earning bitter bread in a world where might rules right. To some it may mean victory, a cherished dream come true. We'll take the bitter with the sweet that comes to me and you. Yes, we will. Well, I just want to give you what thoughts I have in my own mind and maybe some other thoughts this New Year's time. F.B. Meyer, a very great minister, said this, and this is a wonderful thing. You know, Fred, this would be a good thing. Fred is a minister himself, you know, and has a very nice church here in town. This minister said, we are not ready to receive. That's the trouble with us. Many a ship, he said, passes in the night, touching at our shore with the precious freight for which we have been praying, but we are not there to receive it. Many a dove comes to our window from the weltering waste of waters, but we are too wrapped up in other things to notice its light tap on the window. We pray, but we do not wait. We ask, but we do not expect to receive. We knock, but we are gone before the door is opened. They're restless, you know. Ask the Lord for something and then just pull out before he opens the door. That's the truth, Fred. And that is true. The great writer Henry Van Dyke once published some New Year resolutions that are simple, yet wonderful. None could be better. I'm going to read to you these resolutions. They're not the great big things. They're the very little everyday things, and those are the things that really matter, not the big things. Many of us don't deal in big things anyway. He said, these are the things to resolve for this coming year. Resolve to stoop down and consider the needs and desires of little children. Resolve to remember the weakness and loneliness of people who are growing old. To bear in mind the things that other people have to bear in their hearts. to trim your lamp so that it will give more light and less smoke, and to carry it in front so that your shadow will fall behind you. To try to understand those who live in the same house with you. To make a grave for your ugly thoughts and a garden for your kind ones, and leave the garden gate open. Those are wonderful resolutions. And the resolution I always make is to be a friend. Oh, that's my hobby. If you're going to be a friend, for heaven's sake, be one. Don't just be a make-believe. I believe in the real die-by-your-side sort of friendship. The old-time kind that you see so little of anymore. Of course, the world is dotted all over with great friendships, but it is also dotted a great deal more with hatreds and envy. My brother was a great friend. Nobody ever forgot that, and I wish you might have seen his funeral in Los Angeles. People said they never saw at any funeral in their lives so many people in wheelchairs going by his casket, so many crippled with crutches, so many blind who couldn't see him but wanted to rub their hand lightly over his dear face, people he had done for and cherished and loved them and called them up and invited them. What a man he was, and what a friend. His friendship extended to his last penny, and even unto death. He was just made that way. Thank heaven nothing could ever change it. You couldn't turn him against anybody. No stranger was ever turned from his door. If there was no way of doing for someone who was sick or who had died, he found a way. And he was far from a wealthy man, indeed he was. And so the beautiful things poured out when he died, flowers, people, gifts to his wife, poetry, letters, everything. Some way bread, good bread, is always cast on the waters and comes back fourfold. There is a beautiful thing that someone wrote, and I never did know the author, but it went around the whole world almost. I've read it so many times, on being a friend. It said, "I love you, friend. I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. Not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you've tried to make of me. I love you for putting your hand into my heaped up heart and passing over all the foolish, weak things that you can't help seeing there, and for drawing out into the light the good that no one else had looked quite far enough to find. I love you because you're helping to make out of the lumber of my life, not a tavern, but a temple. Out of the works of my everyday life, not a reproach, but a song. I love you because you have done more than any creed could have done to make me good, and more than any fate could have done to make me happy. And you have done it without a touch, without a word, without a sign. You've done it by just being yourself. And perhaps that's what being a friend means, after all." Well, now I want to send a love and a kind word to an elderly couple, which my friend Miss Alice Boone of this city tells me is going to celebrate their 72nd wedding anniversary on New Year's Day. She used to know them so well, and her parents visited with them. And it's Mr. and Ms. Will Palmer of Wablo, Missouri, and everybody calls him just Uncle Will and Aunt Annie. Uncle Will is 95 and Aunt Annie is 91. She was a Boone, and it seems that she's a direct descendant of Daniel Boone. You know, we used to have several people in this Ozark country descended right from Daniel Boone. Hattie Palmer Pope of Rennick, Missouri, wrote quite a history of this old couple in our paper not long ago. I send my love to Uncle Will and Aunt Annie, and I hope someone of you up there will deliver it for me. It is a wonderful thing to be married 72 years in love and confidence and trust. Indeed it is. And I want to thank again and again the friends who sent me lovely Christmas cards right up until a day or so ago, and sweet personal messages, and they warmed my heart through and through. I wish I could reply to everybody, but it would be almost impossible. But God keep you this year under his wing, warm and loving and cared for. And thanks to so many women who still, in all the hurry of Christmas, sent me trading stamps. Sometimes just a few dropped in a litter, and then often a good many or a full book, and one's just as welcome as the other. This is a great thing and a great sacrifice for these wonderful women, because women love their trading stamps. And it shows how women have a heart, and they want to help rush this bus as soon as they can for those dear retarded children up at the home at Marshall. And the bus is coming, never fear. It's bargained for and bought right now, but we'll still have to have stamps over the state, whatever you can send and spare to finish paying. There's so many people I think of when I sit down to get my brains together for this broadcast. People I wish I could say Happy New Year to, but you all must know that you're ever in my heart. I had a most wonderful Christmas and got a great deal more than I ever deserved, both in love and in gifts. I want to say this. You remember our friend, the Ozark poet up at Deepwater, Missouri, who sent you the Buckeyes to carry in your pocket for good luck if you sent a stamped envelope for them. Carl Ike, my, I pretty near raised that chap. Well, Carl says he has a lot of nice ballpoint pens, and if you send a stamped, addressed envelope, he'll send you one free. That's Carl all over. Address Carl B. Ike, Deepwater, Missouri. Not shallow water, Deepwater. You can remember Ike, but President Ike, only it's Carl's last name. You know my name, Kennedy, that reminds me. I don't know what on earth is the matter with it. In all these years, and when I was on the paper, so many can't seem to handle my name, May Kennedy McCord. Well, it's long, I know, but they address me as May Kinney McCord, May McKinney McCord, May Minnie McCord, Minnie May McCord, and sometimes May Nanny McCord. Of course, I don't care what you call me at all. Just so you call me in time for dinner and you write and tell me that you love me. But my name is simple. The Kennedy is just like the president's. President Kennedy, spelled the same way, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y. You don't really have to put the name Kennedy on my mail at all, if it's too much trouble. I've had letters just said May Springfield, and they've got them. Just May and care of KWTO is good enough. But I'm just trying to help you out on that name Kennedy. It's just like the president's. I think I'll have to run for office. I wonder if he and I are skin folks, as the little boy said. Well, his Kennedys are Irish, and my ancestors were Scotch. But he's a pretty nice young chap. I think he's trying to do the best he can. He's got some job, believe me. If I were a man, you couldn't run me down with a sheriff and give me that job. Not in this world as it is now. Well, goodbye. Live one day at a time with its failures and fears and its hurts and mistakes and weakness and tears. And I'll see you next Sunday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Next Saturday.